So I have a question to get us started, and I think at this point in December, this might be a very interesting question to ponder.
Are people doing their best? Are people doing their best?
If you've had to shop this weekend, you might be wondering and skeptical of this best question, or other times or other pieces of news in the world. But I'm wondering, are people doing their best? What would you, is it a yes? Is it a no? What do you think? And this was the question that engrossed author and researcher Brené Brown in her book, Rising Strong, How the Ability to Reset Transforms the Way We Live, Love, Parent, and Lead. She started down wondering about this question, are people doing their best? And it was amplified as a question recently when she reluctantly agreed to participate in a conference. And in this moment, participating in this conference was kind of below her usual asking fee, and the conditions were not optimal. But she agreed. She agreed to be part of this conference because, well, she was a little bit guilted into it by the organizers. Of course, she wouldn't want to be too good for saying yes to an important cause. And this was a worthy cause. She didn't want to be perceived as ungrateful. So she said yes. And then she was told that she would also have to share a hotel room because all the speakers were sharing hotel rooms. And she didn't speak up in that moment because she knew what she needed for housing, which was not sharing. But she didn't speak up because as someone who, in her case, as someone who grew up in Texas in particular, she didn't want to be seen as too big for her britches. So she didn't ask for what she actually needed to do her best in that moment. So she agreed to sharing because that's what everybody was doing. Now, I know this not wanting to be perceived as taking up too much space or being too, you know, all that. It's not just a Texas thing, but it certainly is frequently a female thing. What we have learned, many of us have learned to go along with conditions, even though we know it's not that great for us. So as a result, she went to the conference feeling somewhat resentful already. And then when she got to her hotel room, she was sharing with someone who, okay, the description of this is, oh my gosh, in full length in one of her podcasts. But in short, this woman smeared frosting on the hotel furniture. So gross. So gross and so disrespectful. And truly didn't care. Like, oh, it's not mine. Why should I care? And then proceeded to go out on the balcony and have a smoke in a non-smoking hotel room. And Brené Brown was so, like, tried her polite, civil best. You know, I think this is a non-smoking room. In fact, I think it's a non-smoking hotel. And her roommate was like, you know, I'm out on the balcony. It doesn't matter. And it was became worse and worse and worse. And Brené Brown was just outraged at a certain point at how her roommate not just ignored basic consideration for respect for property, but also seemed to literally blow her off with continued smoking. Now, the event was fine, and Brené Brown fumed all the way home. All the way home. Nothing was okay at the airport. No humans were doing anything but getting in her way. And then she also had the sense to book an appointment with her therapist. Good idea. And went on. Brené Brown went on at length with her therapist about all the scofflaws and the disregard and the disrespect, and people are the worst. And the therapist was like, mm-hmm. What therapists do? Yes. Tell me more. Tell me more about what you're feeling. Tell me more about your definition of the scofflaw. And she knew, Brené Brown knew, that she was stewing in self-righteousness as well, which, as she described, is a particularly difficult and important emotion, tricky emotion in working on her own program, her own recovery path. And so the therapist is listening to this and asking a few questions and letting Brené kind of go on. And towards the end, her therapist says, well, what if this other person, this hotel roommate, what if they were doing the best they could? What if that woman, the frosting, smearing, smoking, disregarding, common courtesy person, was doing the best they could? Ugh, of course not. Of course they're not doing the best they could. That certainly was Brené Brown's first impulse. And I have to say, as I heard the story, I'm like, oh my gosh, no. Ugh, of course they're not. But now you've raised the question. I guess it's worth asking. Are people, not just this woman, but people, all the people that Brené Brown encountered on the airport, coming home, all of this, are people doing the best they can? Now, I want to make a point that this is different than assuming good intentions. This is not that. These are two different conversations. Are people doing the best they can? And this question kept coming back to Brené Brown. And so she went and did a more formal, she asked around informally, and then she went into a more formal study of this. And here's what she found. That those who said yes to the question, are people doing the best they can? The people who said yes always kind of qualified it. Well, I'm not sure. Well, this might sound naive, but yes. And it's encapsulated in her, in Brené Brown's therapist, Diana, her response. Yes, I really do believe that most of us are doing the very best we can with the tools we have. I believe we can grow and get better. But I also believe that most of us are doing, really, doing our best. Now, those who replied no to are people doing their best, those who replied no were not just a no, but an absolute no. Definitely not. Totally not. They also qualified it themselves. They said, I know I'm not so great. I know when I fall short, and they list all the times that they fall short of their expectations, and were often unsparing towards themselves in that. And then projected out, why should I give anyone the benefit of the doubt? And they would judge the self as harshly as they were judging others. No, people are not doing their best. Those who said no also tended to struggle with perfectionism and their own worth. Those who said yes were found to be, tend to be more wholehearted in their living, and to believe in their sense of self-worth. Those who said yes, people are doing the best they can, tended to be more compassionate, more generous, and also have a strong sense of boundary, also have a strong sense of self and worth. Never perfect, always a work in progress, but I know who I am. And from where I am, I can see that people, I think people are doing their best. And that people can keep trying. As Diana said, there's the possibility of growth. So in this moment, in this holiday season, as we're looking towards and are hearing the news of all the shaking of the world, it seems to me that we need to have a conversation about the relationship between generosity and integrity, between boundaries and anger, and between worth and grief. As it occurs to me, as I'm thinking about this, how much energy we put into judging ourselves and others. How much energy we put into judging ourselves and others. And where do we want to actually spend our energy? In this season, when we're singing with joy, when we're called to love and abundance, how do we define ourselves that we may respond to that larger call of hope, to the sun returning as we are on the other side of the solstice, to the birth of the new child who will overturn the empire? We have these invitations to possibility. How shall we show up? I so appreciate the working, the telling, and the reworking of the empty pot story. Speaking of people doing their best. So in its earlier form, it's not a story that I tell, if at all possible. In fact, I avoid it. Because in its more original version, there is a king, and he's subjecting his own children to this test of, go and grow things with seeds I know you can't do anything with. And he really is setting up his children for a fall, one way or another, and letting that be there for a year. Can you imagine letting a child wonder for a year what will happen to them when the seeds don't grow? No, I don't tell this story with children the way it is. But I so appreciate this different retelling with Sam, who wants to retire and is desperate and is trying to find people who can take over. I can't really fault the people that are in line to take over, those potential candidates, for finding ways to show up with things that bloom. I really feel for the one person who came back with the empty pot and confessed. It's like, I failed. I failed. I did my best and I failed. I think the person who came back, knowing how long it takes lemons to grow, the person who came back with the lemon tree probably was overplaying the hand a little. 6 months? Really? Really? But the lemon tree and the flowers and what they would have accomplished if they could. That's an interesting response by itself. And I consider the question about doing their best with Sam, the person who wants to retire. What conditions was he dealing with, along with that sense of desperation about retirement? What conditions was he dealing with if this was his way to screen for the next generation? How was he doing his best in an impossible moment? Are people doing the best they could? I would ask the same of anybody in this moment, of any of our world leaders in this time. There certainly are folks in our society who continually harm others. And if that's the best they can do, then they need to be in a place where they can be removed from that, from harming others. I know closer to home, some of us are looking at how are we going to get through the next few weeks if we're going to gatherings with family that might be difficult, and wonder how are we going to regulate and be ourselves and enjoy this moment. There is no faster regression than going home. There's no faster regression than going home, from going away from what we think is our best and our ability to be present. How much we can be triggered by difficult situations. So whenever possible, I want to invite folks to operate from this idea of how can we do our best. It can feel like weakness. You know, the people who are saying yes can sound like they were hemming and hawing and ambivalent and so on. But perhaps it is not weakness, but clarity. Doing the best is choosing where and how to live in this moment. Brené Brown's husband, Steve, has a response. In her most self-righteous moment, before she really kind of sorted this out with her therapist, Brené Brown asked him the question. She was hot off of returning from her trip. Are people doing their best? And Steve, who is a pediatrician, who has seen people at their best and their worst, he offered this. He said, I don't know. I really don't. All I know is that my life is better when I assume that people are doing their best. It keeps me out of judgment and lets me focus on what is and is not, as opposed to what should or could be. It keeps me out of judgment. Let's be focused on what is and not what could or should be. In other words, he's not letting himself be exhausted by resentment. And I think it provides a chance to pay attention to what's going on as well, and allow for anger and grief. So here's where that other part of the sorting of boundaries and generosity comes, where it can be a gift to us. Brené Brown tells the story of a woman who, when asked this question, are people doing their best, responded emphatically, no. And Brené asked, is there a specific person with this no? And the woman said, yes. That this woman told the story about herself and her sister being trained for classical ballet, and the woman is no longer able to dance for health reasons. But her sister, talented, wonderful, and drinks and undermines herself, is an exotic dancer, does not make use of those gifts. And Brené Brown asked the woman, what if she acknowledged that her sister was doing the best she could? And when faced with that question, in the moment, the woman wept. She stopped being angry and just grieved. She grieved all that was lost, all that was already lost in what she had hoped her sister could do. In this relationship between generosity and integrity and boundary and reactions to saying, no, people are not doing their best, it's often showing up as a rigidity about anger and fear, about grief for what is not going to happen, about wanting something different and it's not going to happen, about the death of something that could be, and facing what is. So doing our best is an acceptance of where we begin and end, including our own definition of who we are, what we can and cannot determine, what boundaries need to be in place for me to be in my integrity and be generous toward them. What are the boundaries that need to be in place for my integrity and to be generous toward those people? Be able to give from strength and self, and acknowledge when we might not be able to give. This is so much that we navigate in this moment, in this time, of having to say no, having to make a hard choice about giving and having to stop. Could be to that experience of tough love. It could be for someone who is an addict of various kinds, someone who is codependent, someone who hasn't been any different for years, and decide. The task is for us to decide when we can and can't give. Even when we're feeling full of obligation and expectations and wanting a different outcome, and when we sorrow for the pain that the person we're observing and encountering experiences. But how much we want to be able to give well, to give from our strength and not from our depletion. To live in love as we are called, and to be able to keep living in that love. What boundaries are in place so that I can be generous in my larger life? It is part of our larger work as people, not just as individuals, but as a people. Our call as a congregation into the larger world, into liberation. How can we do well with ourselves that we can give wonderfully and generously and abundantly into the world? Our sense of truth and reality is so often tested in this time. Some of us are going home to our families of origin, and it is so challenging. But Elandria Williams reminds us that we are worthy. We are worthy of this moment. Not because of what we produce, but because of who we are. We are divine bodies of light and darkness. You are not worthy because of what you offer, but not because of what is in your mind or the support you give others, not for what you give at all, because we are worthy and whole and precious and can be present and abundant. When we remember how much we are worthy and whole just because. So let us go forth. How you answer that question about are people doing their best, that still is a question, and that's okay. But I invite us into finding the way to be the most generous, the most under self-defined, the most whole, because the world needs us to be, well, at our best, and needs us to be creative and imaginative and keep wondering and keep cherishing and keep moving forward. So may we be. Amen.